I will read the scriptures, and then there's one or two things I'll say before I share the word. The scriptures come from Ephesians chapter 2, Waefeso mbili, kutoka mstari wa kwanza hadi mstari wa kumi. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. It's a very, very important passage. One of the most important passages of scriptures, in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. The theme of today's sermon is reigning with Christ. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following in its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I would like us to read the next two verses together. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And of course, verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Father, in Jesus' name, we celebrate the word today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bring this word across to us, that our hearts would be open to receive it, and that God, our legs, would be ready to apply it. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for everyone who is in this service. Thank you for those who are in the pavilion. And Lord, thank you for many who are following this service online around the world. We commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. Amen. We may have our seats. God is good. And all the time. Yes, I'm glad to see all of us. Pastor Ambrose was here for the first service. He was here the other Sunday for second service. He was here for the first service. And he asked me to pass his greetings to all of you. He has gone now to the youth sanctuary to spend a brief moment with them. And as you can tell, he's getting better by the day. So we really, 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 truly thank God. Why don't you give a hand to the Lord? I appreciate that. As you know, our children are going to Arusha, Tanzania for a camp. And thank you. Many of us have sponsored those who couldn't afford. And we still have 10 that need sponsorship. The charges are 12K per child. Let me appreciate this young girl, Sheila, who is in Australia, who grew up through our Sunday school here. And Sheila, you're following this service in Australia. Time zones are different. Really appreciate you for sponsoring quite a number of children for the camp. And we thank God for young people like Sheila. Why don't we appreciate her also for this support? I want to thank God for the team from Wycliffe Africa. These are friends of the church, and we work very closely together. The leader of this group is actually a member of this church, Wairimo, if you would stand. Wairimo, and together with Wairimo, you're right there, keep standing. We have Director Elder Kiptines, Edwin, and your wife, Edna, if you would stand. Yeah, wako hapa hivi. These are very good friends of mine, my mentors. I really thank God for you. That is Edwin and Edna Kiptines. And we also have Mark and Pauline Mwanzia. Mark and Pauline Mwanzia, you remain standing. I really appreciate also friends from long ago, their family friends. And they are serving the Lord with Wycliffe Africa. We also have from Cameroon, Franz Barra and the wife Lillian. Again, thank you for hosting me when I visited you guys in Cameroon, in Yaounde, Cameroon. And the way they are dressed, this is Cameroon colors. So we appreciate this team that's doing a great work bringing the Bible to peoples of the world in a language that they understand. And we bless the Lord. They just celebrated 20 years since the year 2004 or something yesterday. And Pastor Mashina was there. He was with them. And we appreciate the work you do. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Thank you. You can have your seats. Thank you very much. Now, Pastor Mashina's mother is here, Regina, Mrs. Regina Mashina. If you would stand, ma'am. She's a pastor, actually. She's pastor also. And would you stand also, Pastor Mashina? Now, that is mother and son. Son is very tall. Yeah? You have done a good job, ma'am. And pastor, she just celebrated 15 years of serving the Lord. And we join you in thanksgiving for that great thing the Lord has done. And also, as a family, I know Mwangi graduated from Mount Kenya University. So you are celebrating a number of milestones, and we thank God for you as a family. God bless you big time. A hand to the Lord. Thank you very much. We have just a couple of minutes to look at God's word titled Reigning with Christ. For those who may be joining us for the first time, this month our theme is Open Door Reign, Uplifted Kingdom Glory. That is our theme for the month of December. And I have picked a bite of that theme by giving us this title, Reigning with Christ. It's based on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, and I have divided it into three parts so that we follow through together as I share God's word. Number one, located to reign. Number two, positioned to reign. And number three, deployed to reign. These are three things very easy to remember. Located to reign, positioned to reign, deployed to reign. God throughout history has attempted to bring man back where he originally had him. We know that because of sin, man was kicked out of the garden. And the reading of the early chapters of the book of Genesis, chapter 2, chapter 3, will quickly bring to you the story of the fall of man and how he was banished from the garden. From that time, the Lord has somehow redemptively sought to bring his precious creation, mankind, back to himself. And Ephesians chapter 2 is really an account of how God has worked in history to bring us back to himself and back to his family. In fact, the everyday journey of every man and every woman ought to be a journey of realignment and coming back in line with God. Our true peace, or even our true north, actually is found when we are relating right with God, when we are positioned right with God. From the beginning, it was God's intention that man would reign with him. In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, early in Genesis chapter 2, from verse 28. From the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26 to 28. The intention of man from the of God from the beginning was that he would have intimate friendship, intimate relationship with God, and that man would partake, you know, in the authority, in the power, and the whole dispensation and works regarding God, and that man would rule together with God from the beginning. That was God's intention. Let me just read from verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground." This was God's intent from the beginning. But somewhere along the journey, man sinned. Romans 3 verse 23 says, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I shared last Sunday also, Romans 6 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Because of sin, therefore, man fell short of the glory of God, and he was banished. He was kicked out of the garden. And from that time, man started having many, many problems. And even the problems that are being, we are trying to solve through government initiatives, writing global policies and writing strategies, trying to produce development, trying to generate more funds and money. And we are all working very hard. All these issues, disease, among others, all these issues came among mankind. But God's original intention, he never lost it. He really, because he loves us, he really kept that plan, you know, to bring back man to himself and also to bring him to the place of rulership. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, and I pray that at home you would read the whole chapter, indeed the whole book of Ephesians, because it brings to us what you call the redemptive thread. And in chapter 2, that redemptive thread is seeking out man. In chapter 2, therefore, you see how God makes this, works it out, how he works it out. And that's why I have outlined in those three areas, located to reign, which is a work of grace, positioned to reign, which is really a work of elevation, and deployed to reign, which is a work of purpose. And I would like us to look at these three dimensions located to reign. Therefore, the word grace becomes very, very important, because unless God acts from his place of mercy and place of grace, no human being deserves to be brought back to the place where God initially intended for us to be. You know, unless grace and mercy now become active and come into play, because no one really, really deserves. And therefore, God locates us in the place of sin, in the place of separation. God locates us. And grace is encapsulated in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is Mr. Grace. In fact, the word grace as an acronym simply means God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And therefore, through Jesus Christ, our Father locates us. God wears my form so that he can come to my address. We are located, and God knows where you are, and God knows where we are. In fact, he knows us by name, and he knows our address. You know, in John 1:14, the Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of God. And so God, in this very bright strategy, chooses to become a human being so that he can find me and so that he can find you where you exactly are. And you find the whole thing of grace and mercy is a very deep issue here. In fact, the whole subject of redemption can never be exposited without understanding the word grace and understanding the word mercy. So God in his mercy and God in his grace chooses to humble himself, chooses to become a human being, and chooses to become like me so that he can come to your address and my address. And as we come to Christmas, we are really celebrating the fact that God became a human being. It is called the incarnation. God became man, born in a manger, grew up like me and you, went through much suffering, then he died, and he was raised from the dead, and today he's alive, seated at the right hand side of Father. But the whole of that activity is just for you, and it's also for me. And so you find in, that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, just for you to hear it now from the scriptures. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions. That's where we were. We did not deserve, you know, what God did. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions, verse 1, and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's where we were, following even the ruler, the spirit called the devil. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following, that's in verse 3, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. That kind of life is animal kind of life because it is driven by instincts and sensuality. In verse 3, that's where we were, led by the flesh, not by the spirit, but by instincts. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. This is the action of God. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Then I jump to verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. And it is a gift so that no one can boast. And so, through grace, God, who is gracious and very, very merciful, therefore, he crafted a plan. And through this plan, he was able to come to my address so that I could now be on the journey back to his original intent in the book of Genesis. Now, when you read the book of Romans, it has a downhill journey. Romans 1, go downstairs. Romans 2, go downstairs. Romans 3, go downstairs. And you go down all the way down in Romans chapter 3, up to verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then somehow the curve turns upwards. And the crescendo on the other side then becomes, in chapter 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Because God has intervened and God has done something. And then you go to Romans 8, where there is a song of celebration because there is no condemnation, because of the work of the Spirit. And then in verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And then you go to chapter 8 and you go on and on. And so, friends, as we come to Christmas and during this time, we reign because God intervened. Without him intervening, without him locating me and locating you, there is no way we would get back where God wanted us to be. There is no way we would begin to have victory and walk a life of victory. And so Ephesians chapter 2 is a very good study that I do propose that every believer goes down with a tooth comb and really get through it, because it makes you begin to worship God. It makes you want to appreciate what God has done for you and really help you see it more clearly. And so God has located us. And let me say, this Christmas, God is locating somebody. And God is coming through for somebody. Hallelujah. God knows you by name. God knows your street. God knows your address. There is a guy who was located. And favor is all we need. Favor, favor, favor. There's a guy who was located in the Old Testament. Remember, I read something last Sunday. 2 Samuel 9, chapter 9, verse 1 to 11. This guy was located. I don't know whether you are able to pronounce this name. The name is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Now, is there anyone here listening to me who has named their child Mephibosheth? I wonder this side. Anyone or planning to do so? Now, it's a complicated name. It's a long one. And I don't know how a child would feel if they keep, hearing the name called by the teacher, Mephibosheth. This guy was located by favor. And located by grace. It's a work of grace. It's a hand of grace at work. It is amazing. It doesn't matter how far you are. It doesn't matter how lost you are. It doesn't matter how dark space, that space, how dark it is. The rest of the people may reject you, walk away from you. But if you read Luke chapter 15, the Bible says when one sinner, gets saved, heavens rejoice. And therefore, God will invest all the funds needed to just reach one. Luke chapter 15, just one. Not the 99 who think they are okay, but just that one who is lost. That's the nature of God's favor and God's grace. That's how rich it is. 2 Samuel chapter 9, yes, from verse 1, David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And this is God's mindset. He's still asking, is there one more on planet Earth, somewhere in the world, to whom I can show favor? Now, there was a servant, and I know there are still so many who are still not born again. The world has pockets of people who have never heard about Jesus Christ. They are all over. Now, there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. The address is very clear. So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness. I will surely show you kindness. And God is saying, I have surely shown you favor and grace. For the sake of your father Jonathan, I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then King David summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for, and Mephibosheth, grandson, and the sons may be provided for, and Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And verse 11, then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord, the king, commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Now Mephibosheth is retrieved, as it were, from the dungeon where he was to the place where he even had lost his own self-esteem. And he was saying, I am like a dead dog. But the king remembers, and somehow favor is released from the king. And the king is saying, until this one is restored, until this one is brought back to a place he can reign and he can sit with me at this table, we are not resting. And therefore, Ziba does that mission, and eventually Mephibosheth is brought. I want to say that grace, the work of grace, locates us. That cross you see there, where Jesus was crucified and he shed his blood because of God's love, is a work of grace. And that work of grace finds you and will find you wherever you are. And the purpose of that work is to bring you back to the place where God needed you to be. So are you here, beaten by life? Are you here, you have gone this way, you have tried that way, and you've gone all over? God is saying, I'm going to fix it. And it's a work of grace. I'm going to put you together, like in the case of the prodigal son, who had gotten lost. He came to his senses, comes back to his father, and the father puts on a jacket, a ring, and shoes. Grace will fix it. God's favor will sort it out. There is an offer from this pulpit, and this offer is the grace that restores and bring someone back to the place where they reign again. You cannot let this offer pass. That cross there is for every man and every woman on planet Earth. That blood shed by the Son of God is for the remission of sins. But secondly, I must say, position to reign. Reigning with Christ. Yes, the grace that brings me back. But secondly, positioned to reign. And this is elevation at work. Elevation at work. Let me say that the resurrection was a positioning power, because it fetches Jesus from the grave And then that power brings him back and then lifts him up all the way to the place where he ends up sitting at the right hand side of the Father. And you know, when Jesus did that, he broke the yoke of the enemy and of Satan and of the grave and of sin and of transgressions. He broke the power, yeah, that would keep us down or take us down, like down. You know, John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that I might have life and have it abundantly. The down dynamic, the depression dynamic is canceled by the resurrection equation. And the power of hell is broken. The power of the grave is broken. All the things that keep you down instead of going up, all of them are reversed and they are paralyzed. There is something about this month here that is positioning somebody who has been down there. You came to this service feeling down there. I am releasing the power of the resurrection upon your life right now in Jesus' name. And may the anointing that lifts somebody from the grave, from a nobody, be released so that you can sit in the place of rulership again. Positioned by divine power. And not just any power, this is the power of elevation. It is a power that raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, that power is just amazing. And Paul prayed that believers would understand it. In Ephesians chapter 1, I just read it from verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength. That is verse 19 of chapter 1, Ephesians. He exerted. That word, he exerted. In the Greek, it's a very deep word. It's like uprooting. It's like going very far. Deep enough, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule, far above rule, far above authority, far above power, far above dominion, and far above every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, that same power that lifted Jesus from the grave is a power available to every one of us, every believer. And therefore, it's a restoration of authority and power. Authority and power. And you have been positioned to reign with authority and with power. So in the various platforms, whether it's a family setup or whether it's a business setting, things shouldn't happen to you. You should happen to things. Now, things shouldn't be beating you up. You should be beating them. And the position of a believer is not subservient. It is not a hidden underneath somewhere. The position of the believer is one lifted, seated, restful, yeah, and then ruling. That is a picture. And therefore, through Jesus Christ, what was planned at the beginning in the book of Genesis is herein restored. And I would like someone, where you are in your heart, to just say, I am reigning again with Jesus. In your heart, you can just say quietly, I'm reigning again with Jesus. And therefore, everything that has been trying to put me down is coming down in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there is Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that reminds us about this authority I'm talking about. When you are restored in the place of ruling, Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, in first person, to appropriate what is here, and that is what we call the rhema dimension of the word. To appropriate this, we can read it in the first person. I want us to read it together, those in the pavilion and those who are here, those online. We can read it together. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let's read it together. First person. I have been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Let's give a hand clap to Jesus. That is your portion. Position to reign. Favor brings us to a place of rulership back, and there's a lady called Esther. You know the story in chapter 2, verse 15 to 18, who just by favor was lifted by this elevation power. She did not deserve it. She was a refugee. But that doesn't matter. When God begins to move, it doesn't matter your history, doesn't matter your background. God doesn't discriminate. He's a God of equity, and he's a God who comes through. Doesn't matter the name of your family. He will reach it just wherever it is. Listen to this about this girl called Esther, chapter 2, verse 15. When the time came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor. This is critical. Favor gets you there. Grace gets you there. You don't have to fight somebody. When favor is on your life, you are unstoppable. Won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther. May you become a magnet for promotion in Jesus' name, and a magnet for elevation. May God's favor just shower you and dress you up. I'm speaking to somebody who is going for an interview this coming week. They will say, this is the one. I mean, once you walk in like this, they'll decide the interviews are over. Because the one we are waiting for has done what? Has come. Yeah? Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown, coronation, royal crown. You know, position to reign, coronation. A royal crown was on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king was so happy. He gave a great banquet, which is a big meal. I think Ambassador, Your Excellency Moyo, you're in the diplomatic circles. And when you meet in those, I've been invited in some of those forums of ambassadors. And I see how you eat. You people eat very nicely. Yeah? They set up banquet. I went with you also, Pastor Mashina, one of them. And you saw how vile wanajivinjari. Yeah? Our my diplomats. But you see, God wants to do this, treat everyone. And the young people, children who are here, parents who are here, please, let there be pizza. This is from Pastor Simon. Buy pizza for these children. These wonderful children we are having right here. Buy pizza. And please remind your parents and your guardians that Pastor Simon was reading about a queen who was treated so nicely. And Pastor Simon said, you should also be treated nicely, you know, like a king or a queen. And buy the giant pizza, you know, the one that is really nice, you know, a nice one. Yes, Esther's banquet, you know, the day comes for you and it shall be given your name. And there will be a celebration, I prophesy, in Jesus' name. That day is coming for you because there is a God in heaven. And by his favor and his grace, he's elevating somebody. And his resurrection power is present today, breaking every yoke that puts you down. And God gets you there. It's unstoppable. This is unstoppable. Gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed even a holiday. That means the coronation of Esther became a public day. There was a public holiday. It was a big thing. The provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. There were gifts coming to everyone. What am I saying here? Elevation at work. Positioned to reign. And God was not happy when we fell in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, he had to do everything because of his love. Through grace and favor, he had to do everything. First of all, to bring me back to life, you know, locating me to reign. But secondly, lifting me up and up and up and up to that place again. May God restore our dignity. May God bring us back to the place where we shall walk with our heads high. May God bring us to a place where things don't put us down. We happen to things instead of things happening to us. The young generation are rising in Jesus' name. There is an anointing in Africa, and the resurrection power has picked on the young generation of the continent of Africa. And I see prophetically God raising young people, and they are rising to the highest levels. Our young people will be sought after, I declare, in Jesus' name, from around the world. This week, on Friday, I went to lead in prayers to dedicate the launch of the Green Tech Hub, which is Konza City. And I was invited to lead those prayers. And there were people, even the president was there, people of all kinds. And I tell you, it was such a joy for me to see that it is young people who are now taking the baton of technology, whether digital or AI, that technology, and they are upscaling their skills. They are being skilled in these areas. And the young generation are taking the baton of technology, and they are going to provide solutions to all the problem areas, whether economics, whether health, whether education, you know, whether art, whichever field that is. This elevation, God is raising the young generation. And these children you see here, and these young people you see here, plus the other ones who are there, and the ones who will follow this video online. God, I want to say God's spirit is upon you. In fact, I'm releasing an anointing upon the young generation that is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. And just like Samuel, I take a horn of oil by faith. Hallelujah. I'm taking a horn of oil. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. That horn of oil, if I can have it on the screen. I'm taking a horn of oil. And by faith, I am pouring oil on the young generation. Hallelujah. David was 17 years old. He just came from shepherding. God's favor will find you anywhere. God's grace will find you anywhere from a shepherd. And by the anointing, this is royal anointing. You call it royal anointing. This boy is being elevated. And prophetically, I am releasing an anointing on the young people of Africa, from South Africa to North Africa, from West Africa to East Africa. We have people from Cameroon here, and I have others from different African countries in this particular service. And this anointing is flowing to those ends. When I was in South Africa, those who are with me, you remember I released Edwin Mzee Kipnes. Do you remember my prophecy for South Africa? Yeah. Yes, when I was there, I released a prophecy for South Africa, and the South African delegate recorded it, and then they passed it around in South Africa. I am telling you, oil is flowing, and it's an oil of anointing. Young people of Africa, connect. This is your hour. This is your moment. There is a power of elevation. God is lifting you from where you are. Don't despise your age, and don't feel like you come from a family that doesn't count. God is coming through. But finally, as I finish, I must say, deploy to reign. And so all this work of grace is not supposed to produce exhibits, but it is supposed to produce a people who are active in the various platforms that God has put them to fulfill and accomplish the thread of divine purpose. Because I believe strongly that every sector, whether business, wherever God has put you, every platform is perfected by divine purpose. And when you pray purpose in what you're doing, and you align it with the will of God and the purpose of God concerning what you're doing, then it begins to shape itself within that purpose and within that will. There is a thread of purpose, and purpose works through his people. And we reign by fulfilling the purpose mandate. In John chapter 4, verse 34, John chapter 4, verse 34, there's something very beautiful Jesus said. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus said, my food, meaning this is all I live for. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And Jesus spent time with a group of 12 people. One of them betrayed him. He passed on his DNA into their lives. Then on Pentecost, at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they were empowered, and then they started living out that mission and that purpose. I believe that every gift God has given to man is supposed to fulfill God's purpose and God's mission. And therefore, God has put you where you are by design. There is no mistake. And so we are deployed. The deployment has been done. We should not wait for anyone else to deploy us. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. We are deployed. The word is released. The train left the station. And so, as we leave today, I pray that there will be a high level of mobilization of every individual. What I call 100% mobilization, which comes through surrender, which comes through yielding to God and His will and His purpose, and say, God, you didn't just create me to just fill the days and count the days and kind of slide from Monday to Tuesday, then a Tuesday, Wednesday slide and slide into Saturday, and then slide into Sunday and finish a week, and then slide 2 weeks into months, and then finish the year 2024. And I was just sliding and sliding and sliding through the year. We are deployed on planet Earth to reign. And we are deployed on planet Earth to reign, to fulfill the mission and the purpose that God has ordained for us. And when we do it, it's a very beautiful thing. Like today I'm preaching. I'm living out my life mission and life purpose. And you know, when you do your mission, life purpose, God empowers. That's what God empowers, by the way. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost of the world. Ordinarily, I'm a shy person. Ordinarily, by the way, I don't like crowds. Ordinarily. And even for me to come from there, to come up here, you should know. Thank you, Cliff, for escorting me. But there is something that, Brother Pete, you know, when we start serving, there is something that just takes over. And you stand here and you can't understand it. There is just something that takes over. And that is God endorsing the fact that this person is living their purpose. And then God saying, I'll let my power flow this channel. Because this channel is weak. This channel is not able. But I will give this vessel my all, so that this vessel can deploy or can release my mission and my purpose. So whatever platform you enjoy, those in the engineering sector, those in administration, those in the medical world, the legal world, the teaching world, those in logistics, those in business, wherever the Lord has put you, that place is very special, and God has put you there by design. And He wants you to magnify Him and His glory. Matthew 5 verse 16, as I finish, Matthew 5:16, God wants you to use that platform and that place, including that family and that marriage. I am a father, and God wants me to do my best as a father. I have 5 children, but I am a grandfather. That tells you, when you start getting, my sister, Mrs. Tiga, when you start getting grandchildren, you start behaving almost like you go backwards like that, and you have your grandchildren there. Oh, let's appreciate Mrs. Diga. She has come with her grandchildren here. Yeah, thank you. I am a grandfather. I'm a man on a mission as a father. I'm a man on a mission as a grandfather. I'm a man on a mission as a pastor. And you know, I say there are 3 P's about my life personally. There are 3 P's. I'm a parent, I'm a pastor, and I'm a person. Yes, yes. I'm a person, the me. And I'm a parent, and I'm a pastor. And I must find life balance around those 3 dynamics that define my life. But you know, there are things I have to reflect on, and we all have to reflect on. What is this mandate God has given you? And what is this platform that you are enjoying? Why has God granted you that platform? And how would you allow the cross to emerge in that place? You know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:2, I have been, 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul. And therefore, I am a walking cross. I am a walking advert of Jesus and of the kingdom. And wherever I will be, whether in an aeroplane or wherever, in a restaurant, I am living out a mission and I'm living out a purpose. So it says in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The best way to bring glory to God, more than singing choruses, you know, is really that life, your life. It's the best thing you have to be able to give the best to God. He gave us his best. We give him our best. And when we do it, do your job well, excellent, excellent. If you're in class, study well, you know, wherever God has put you, leave it out, you know, for God. And then the glory of God is released. That's how we reign. And when we do those kind of things, they will always select you. They say, this one is the one to take this job. It happened to Daniel. It happened to Joseph. It has happened to many other characters in the Bible. And I know in our time, this century, that's the same thing God is doing. And so as we come to the place of prayer, remember just what I say. Reigning with Christ, Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 10. Located, I am located to reign. God has seen me, knows my name, knows my address. He's not coming wholesale. He has located me. This Christmas, you are located, and he has located me to reign. God is coming through for you. Secondly, not just located me, but with the hand of elevation. He has lifted me from a nobody, and he has brought me to sit together with Christ in the heavenly realms. I am a ruler together with Christ. I'm a co-heir, a co-worker together with Jesus. I am crowned. And when I look around, I see people who have crowns because God has chosen you to rule together with him. But finally, I'm deployed to reign. As we live, whatever investment God has put in your life, let it come out to bless somebody else. And when you do it, God will trust you with more. That is called the Abrahamic conduit principle. God told Abraham, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. You know? And so when blessings come, the blessings must also be sprinkled around. And so I am deployed to reign. As we leave this service today, I declare us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Let nothing put you down outside there. Remember, you are ruling and reigning together with Christ. The grace has been released. The anointing to lift you is in place. And the commission to go has also been granted. So as we leave this service, the Lord is changing someone. There is somebody here who is saying, Pastor, the very first point, you have spoken, I have gotten a revelation of grace. I know God loves me. I'm not born again. But today I have seen the cross in a new way. I have seen that Jesus died for me, not just for the world, but for me. That blood was shed to cleanse my sins. Pastor, a revelation has come to me. And today I want my sins washed away. Today I want to be brought into the family of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. I am going out under new management. I am going out a new creature. I'm receiving a new lease of life. Today the old is going. The old is going. The new is coming. And I'm walking out of this church born again. There is somebody who is going to pray that prayer. And I pray don't harden your heart. Just simply pray it. Because God wants to bring you back to the place of reign. And he's using his grace and his favor and his mercy. But there's somebody else who has been down there, and you've never really known your authority and your power. Yet God is saying, I have made you a queen. I've made you a king. Today you want that authority restored. You know, whether as a father, a mother, a child in business. And you're saying that rulership again. I have been beaten by life. But today that should change. Therefore, put a crown on me. You know, dress me up again with authority. Anoint me afresh. Let the resurrection power operate in me and lift me to where I should be. But finally, there could be somebody who is praying this prayer. I need to articulate my purpose. You know, there are people who give their strength here, there, there, there. Then the year ends. you just cannot see where this is all going. It's called a trotting paradigm. And so it doesn't stop. It keeps going. And it's nowhere. It's everywhere. It is nowhere. God wants you to be able to articulate your mission and your purpose and persistently, consistently invest there. And God will come through for you as you do that. That's how you reign. In the first service, I talked about the concave lens and the convex lens in physics and also in light studies. When you do a concave lens and you take it out and you have the rays of the sun or even the light coming onto the concave lens, what happens, the parallel rays of light come and hit the meniscus at the top, and then they go through, and then on the other side they scatter. They go this way and the other way. They go everywhere. Yeah? Concave lens scattering the light. But if you have a convex lens, same place, same everything. The rays come parallel and then they converge to a point, a principal point. And all this light and all this heat is converged to a point. And if you're doing it out of the sun there, you can actually light up a paper. If you put it at the focus point down here below the convex lens, and suddenly a fire comes up. A focused life. A life that really knows the mission. Collects the power of God, the authority of God, everything that's given from above, and converges it to a point. And I tell you, the outcomes, the results are amazing. The Apostle Peter came to a cripple, Acts chapter 3, verse 6, and he converged the authority he had upon a cripple. And he said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but that which I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And you know, this guy, after that walked, he was jumping around everybody. So the glory of God was seen around that place, because you had somebody who understood their mission, and they were not scattering their life, giving it to everybody, giving it everywhere. No, they know this is what I'm about, and they become a convex lens. Let us be convex lenses as opposed to concave. Concave. That's a bit of a lesson in physics. Concave lenses, so that we don't scatter the gifts, but we converge. And I'm praying that somebody planning to enter, and you will enter in Jesus' name, the year 2025, that this message will guide you into the year 2025. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, read it with a tooth comb, and say, "God, speak to my heart." It's one of the most important passages I know in Scripture, in terms of understanding how God has brought us back to himself and what he wants us with our lives. Right now, I'd like us to pray. I'll ask us to stand. Let's all stand up as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, I thank you that you have allowed us here in Kenya and here in Parklands Baptist Church to have the opportunity to gather to hear your word. Thank you, Lord. We don't take it for granted. We also thank you that you have allowed us to go to a text in the Bible. And God, you have allowed me to share what I've shared with your people today. I thank you for the ones who are in the pavilion and those who are here and those who are following online. Father, I pray that three categories of decisions would be made. One, somebody receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I have already outlined how it happens. If you are here, this is your moment to simply pray, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, make me a new creation. You are located to reign. From today, you are born again." Everybody who has prayed that prayer, from today, you are born again. And you are now on your path to reigning with Christ. But secondly, the person who has been down there, and there is resurrection power in the house, you need to pray, because the anointing is here. God, lift me from where I am to where you want me to be. And God wants you to be in a nice place. It doesn't matter how down you are. Your downness could be described as grave. Grave. The word grave meaning serious, but also the word grave meaning a grave as we know it. And you could be down there in a grave. Listen to this preacher. I am saying God's anointing of elevation is in the house. And I'm praying for you that God would reach you where you are, down there, and lift you up by the power of the cross. You pray for yourself also where you are and refuse to be there. Just simply say no to staying there. And you say, the preacher has said, I need to sit, to be seated together with Christ in the heavenly realms. And that's my portion. That's my destiny. Refuse to stay there and connect and receive the spirit of elevation. Right now in Jesus' name, may God begin to lift you to the next level and the next level and the next level. May God open those doors. May he clear the path because somebody is rising. But finally, you know that God wants you to live for a purpose. You are deployed by purpose and by mission and by commitment to the same. Right now, you pray that God will make your mission and purpose in life clear. Purpose is not about earning money. Money is good. Purpose is not about building houses. Houses are good. Purpose is not about traveling or about jobs or about eating or drinking. Purpose is the thread, redemptive thread of God and our alignment to the same. And God is saying, cause everything about you to serve this mission. God, may you endow your people with a lot of resources. Lord, may you prosper your people. But at the same time, Lord, may we come back to that mission and purpose for which you've called us. And especially now through Christmas, that this would be a time to reflect on the same. And I thank you for all these prayers that have been prayed. You know the prayer that you have prayed. Afterwards, you can share with somebody, maybe here or elsewhere. And you say, this particular Sunday, the 8th of December, there was a preacher who was preaching from Ephesians chapter 2. And he spoke to my heart. Today, I want to share with you, I am reigning again. And I have come back to the place of authority because of grace, because of the anointing of the resurrection power, and because of God's divine purpose. My Lord, thank you for, as we leave this place, we are going to share all these things. And I pray that as we leave here, you give each one of us a good time. Take care of everyone leaving this sanctuary. See our going out and also our coming in. And even those who are following online, wherever they are, even the ones in the pavilion, Lord, see they are going out and also they are coming in. I want to decree a special cover of the blood of Jesus upon everyone, upon every home. And also decree a blessing that the devil cannot reverse. May I now declare Monday blessed for you, Tuesday blessed for you, Wednesday blessed for you, Thursday blessed for you, Friday blessed for you, Saturday blessed for you, Sunday blessed in such a way you come back with testimonies. You come back with testimonies this coming Sunday. Lord, I thank you. I thank you and I bless you. Father, I establish that blessing in the highest heavens. And this week, your people will see wonders and signs. Signs for direction, wonders to catch attention. Because you're a God of wonders and signs. There are families that never seen a wonder. They're going to see it in Jesus' name. This coming week, God come through for your people. Because we've prayed in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God's people say, amen. Let's give a hand to Jesus. A hand clap to the Lord. Glory to God.